Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions, coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida. Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals presented by the Palm Beaches, and I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
And I'm Kelly Cavers. Our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and to discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally. Today, I'm incredibly excited to say we have with us Aaron Menatoff, co-CEO and co-founder of Bordery, an industry-disrupting company revolutionizing gourmet gifting. Here, we're going to talk to him about creating impactful and memorable experiences through bold and elevated event design. Aaron, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I love talking about Bordery and our journey, and I love talking about cheese and charcuterie. So this is great to be here.
Funny, I do too, Aaron.
But we all like eating it more than talking about it, right?
Right.
That's true. That's true.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the company Bordery.
So I've been in the special events and catering business for the past 20 years. And so the concept of Bordery came during the pandemic. We're doing about 12 events a week consistently. We had a fantastic business. And when the pandemic hit, just like a lot of people in hospitality, all the business just came to a standstill. And we were trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do to be able to pay the bills, to be able to, you know, keep the staff employed. And we had had this idea kind of on the back burner for quite a while about doing a direct consumer shipping product. But we just never had the time. When you're doing, custom events all the time and everything's different, your just time is completely taken up by that. And so one of the things that always stood out for us was cheese and charcuterie. And one of the reasons was because even in our own events, most of the events that we did had some sort of element of grazing tables or cheese and charcuterie that were involved in them. And we also knew from talking to all of our distributors that they couldn't keep the stuff on the shelves. It was just growing in such a high demand and popularity, especially the artisan items. And we noticed that people, the only way that you could order this kind of stuff are DIY boxes where you have to cut it up yourself and you have to arrange it yourself and or gift baskets. And those seemed to us a little bit antiquated and outdated. So we had always discussed the idea of coming up with a ready-to-eat cheese and charcuterie product. And this really gave us the opportunity. So, you know, it sounds funny saying that the pandemic gave us an opportunity, but, you know, it gave us time to be able to focus on this. So we really, the whole team dug in. We have a fantastic staff. A lot of the same people are still with us today from the catering to doing this. And we developed the first ever artisan, fully assembled, shippable cheese and charcuterie board. And, you know, the first one that we came up with, we were kind of doing, it was our version, kind of our first version, right? Which doesn't look anything like what we're doing today. And we, in order to get it off the ground, my wife and I lived on a farm. So it took some capital to be able to do this. So all the normal expenses of our normal catering business, we ended up taking a second mortgage on our farm, taking an SBA loan. So we always joke around that we literally bet the farm on this. And we took that money into retrofitting and expanding our catering facility to kind of accommodate this kind of unique production process and get the FDA certifications in order to ship things nationwide, which are very different than, you know, local regulatory issues that we would normally have to adhere to. So, at that point, we partnered up with someone that became very important in the business, actually, Rachel Solomon, who's one of the co-founders in this, and she was one of our local catering clients that used to order delivery service from us. So we started out because we couldn't ship right away as we were figuring it out. So we were doing local delivery, and Rachel was one of the customers. And she was actually down here from New York. She was in finance, but she was kind of spending time with her family during the pandemic and getting away from New York and with her fiance. And so she was kind of taking a hiatus from the finance thing. And we always used to talk about, you know, how can we make this on a much bigger scale? And I pitched this to a lot of people, this concept. And I guess I'll back up a little bit. When Rachel jumped on board, Rachel and my other partner, who is my wife, Julie, and then my other partner, Angel, Angel was a catering manager for us for 10 years. Now he's a partner in the business. He's a engineer by training, and he's also a SOM, and he worked in Michelin star restaurant that his family owns in Italy for 10 years. So he knows a lot about cheese and charcuterie and about the whole production process with his engineering background. So we ended up securing our first contract. So we kind of hustled, and our first brand was called Cheese Border. And with that brand, we made a contract with a company called Gold Belly, which is a really innovative company that ships food from celebrity chefs and unique restaurants anywhere in the country. And it was really helpful during the pandemic for restaurants that didn't have the walk-ins. Gold Belly gave them the opportunity to be able to get into nationwide shipping. So we signed up with them in October of 2020. And by December, we received the largest check that they had ever issued a vendor since their inception. And that was kind of our proof of concept, where we really decided to double down. And we built out our a state-of-the-art 15,000 square foot FDA SQF certified production facility. And that's when we launched our second brand, which is called Bordery. And the reason we launched Bordery is that Cheese Border was an exclusive white label product for Gold Belly. So they continued to sell that. And we ended up going to other third-party e-tailers like William Sonoma and Harry and David and iGourmet. And we ended up developing great partnerships with them. And they started selling our products. And they did exceptionally well on those different platforms. But there were also a lot of roadblocks there. Like, for example, a company like William Sonoma has 1,000 other products or probably more. So they're not going to give the time and attention to you that you would give to your own product, right? So even if they were advertising a lot for us, it wouldn't be the amount that we would advertise on our own behalf. So we weren't really maximizing the sales that we could do. So, you know, that kind of led into this year, about a little bit less than a year ago, we launched our own direct-to-consumer. So we launched our own website, and we started creating our own content and started dabbling in paid ads and Google and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. And we started doing a lot of like A/B testing and then using, affiliate partners and content creators and just testing what would work. And we found that it worked really well. And now our own direct-to-consumer on our own website is now about 95% of our entire sales.
Wow.
Wow. What a phenomenal story.
Yeah. I mean, definitely determination and passion behind the product. When did you connect, or when did you say, let's bring this to Shark Tank? Let's bring another partner on and take it to Shark Tank. Like, when during that time frame?
So we actually, our first year, we applied to Shark Tank, and we didn't get any kind of a callback about that. And, you know, there's not much that can discourage us. And we know the power of tenacity, and it's always gotten us places. Like our first December that we went into business, we actually made the Forbes holiday gift guide. And that was by, you know, just finding out who wrote the holiday gift guide and continually sending them things and reaching out to them and emails and phone calls. And, you know, we believed in our product and that it was so unique that people are going to like it if they knew it existed. So we applied again the second year for Shark Tank, and they wrote us back and said, you know, love your energy. We love your product. We love, your sales so far. And they asked us to do a video. So we did a follow-up video for that. And then we got a call saying, well, we'd like you to fly out to LA in 2 weeks and film. And that was, incredibly exciting just for the lifetime opportunity that it is. And also for, the major PR impact that has on most businesses that go on Shark Tank.
Has that episode already aired?
Yeah, that episode aired last November, and it was incredibly impactful. I mean, that was one of the key moments that really catapulted our business. It launched at the perfect time last November, going right into Thanksgiving and right into Christmas and Hanukkah and the holidays. So it gave us a huge boost. In fact, going into that, we were on the show. We said we would do about $4 million for the year, and we ended up closing out the year close to $8 million. And that the day that we aired on Shark Tank, that night we did $100,000 in sales. And then the subsequent 5 weeks going through the holidays, we did $1 million a week in sales. So $5 million of sales in 5 weeks, which was a boost that we needed.
Wow, that's great. And where are you today? Can you share where you are now? I mean, because you've definitely grown leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I mean, so we've done a lot of things this year in terms of finding out what our customers want. And that was one of the major deficits about only selling through third parties is you don't own the customer data, so you don't get any feedback. And so we spent a lot of time getting feedback from our customers and reaching out directly, you know, using a lot of metrics and listening to what they wanted. Like, for example, we realized that about half of our products were being shipped as birthday gifts. And so going with that, we developed something called a birthday board where the customer can get the numbers, the numerals of the person's birthday cut out in cheese. So it customizes that board. And that immediately became a big hit. It accounts for about 50% of our sales. And then that led us into people asking for anniversary boards, wedding boards, engagement boards. So we developed those. And so now we cut out initials of the couples and send that for engagements, weddings, and anniversaries. So we're really listening, and it's really, you know, impacting sales in a huge way. And now we're on track this year to do about $25 million in sales.
Wow. So that sounds like a lesson, you know, really getting feedback from your customers that you learned in the hospitality industry. What are some other lessons that you learned in that industry that have helped you develop Bordery?
Well, a few of the things are, you know, like you're hitting the nail on the head there with its relationships. You know, I mean, people, they often buy from people and do business with people that they like, that they trust, that they know are dedicated to quality. And we're, you know, for the size of our business, which, you know, we're a startup, we're still a very small business. We still, we have a very small management team. But we have more people that are in our customer service department, which is headed up by my wife, Julie. And in the beginning, she took every single call from every single person. I mean, we literally all through Christmas, all through every holiday, we're sitting by the phones solving people's issues with whether it's a FedEx delay or a UPS delay. We would go as far as to send Ubers to FedEx locations in another state because the FedEx driver, they don't have enough drivers to ship them out. We're sending Ubers to go get them and to deliver them to our customers. And once you do that, you're developing a customer for life. And that's really the key in our business. And I think a lot of direct-to-consumer businesses is developing that lifetime customer, that you're not continually trying to get new customers by paying for them. You're developing a customer base that they know how loyal you are to them, how important that they are to you, and that we're all over quality. I mean, and those are things that I learned from the catering business. I mean, people would call you year after year and they'd say, you know what I want? You know, just do it. I know it's going to be fabulous. And that's the kind of reputation that we have that we built into the Bordery business where people know exactly what they're going to get. That just, you know, we're not going to accept more orders than we can send out. That everyone's going to look exactly the same as you see it on the website. And the quality of everything is going to be perfect.
So Aaron, you clearly take a lot of things that you've learned from the hospitality side, whether it's developing those relationships, making sure that you focus on achieving a very high level of customer service to your customers. One other thing that I've noticed, that I've experienced with you, is the creativity that you can bring to events. And recently, you just achieved the Guinness Book of World Records for having the largest charcuterie board here in Palm Beach. Can you share with us a little bit of what inspired you to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we did it with some fantastic partners like Discover the Palm Beaches and some other of our suppliers that we buy products from, and everybody jumped on board. So it was a great opportunity for all of us that kind of have a business relationship to have something that's more of like a team building relationship between all these brands. So that was really fantastic about it. But the reason that we did the whole event in the first place is we always look for these organic PR opportunities that are going to help drive traffic to our website. And, you know, and that's the bottom line. We had you know, going into last year, we had amazing momentum. We had Shark Tank that aired in November, and then we had Oprah's Favorite Things in November at all. And that both of those really were organic opportunities for us. And this year, in fact, we made Oprah's Favorite Things again, but this year for our baked cheese product. So, and which is really, you know, validating for us, because our goal is to become the name that's synonymous, the household name in America with cheese and charcuterie. So to get that kind of validation, it's rare for a brand to make it 2 years in a row or 2 years at all. So that was fantastic. So going into this year, we were thinking, well, what are we going to do now to be able to get some organic PR? So we thought, wouldn't that be fun to be able to build the world's largest cheese and charcuterie board? And that's where that idea came from. And so while we're playing, you know, it takes a long time to plan that. So as we're planning that, then we got the Oprah news. And then we also got the news that we're going to be on the Shark Tank Where Are They Now episode. So now we're going into this holiday season with three organic PR moments, which is awesome. So we couldn't be happier about that. And what we decided to do was make a giant replica of our Oprah's Favorite Things board, which is 20 feet by 14 feet. It's called our Arte Cheese and Charcuterie board. And that ended up being over 1,000 pounds. And all of that food afterwards was all donated to the Lord's Place, whose mission is to supply support services for the homeless in Palm Beach County. And so that was able to feed about 2,000 people. So that was also, you know, a special experience. And then in terms of internally for our team, everybody works really hard here. I mean, we've got 80 full-time staff, and every single board is made fresh the same day that we ship it out. So we're cutting everything the same day. We're hand making everything the same day. So it's really a lot of work. And so this is a really like a fun team building experience as well for our team.
You know, not only was it fun and great team building, because I had the personal opportunity of attending it, it was very welcoming to everyone in so many different areas. And one of the things that I think probably from your past history of the events that you used to do is bringing the community in and making it inclusive, and you brought the Arc of Palm Beach County into the actual event. Can you share how you incorporated them into the event also?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I have always been big supporters of the Arc, and we've been, you know, for the past couple of years, the two largest personal fundraisers through the Wild Pants campaign. And so we always wanted to bring the Arc into our business. So we started out with having our clients design greeting cards that we would sell along with our boards. That was the first way. And then as our business progressed, we started hiring our clients to come in and fulfill tasks as part of our team, as paid employees, just like everybody else in our team. Get paid. They got paid the same thing as everybody else, and they would do necessary tasks, things like taping boxes or sorting brochures or loading trucks. So, you know, as individuals and as a business as a whole, we believe that, you know, people deserve opportunity, and because work is so impactful and important to give us meaning in our lives, we feel that it's important to give other people the opportunity to wake up every single day and feel a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging and part of a team and be able to solve problems together and celebrate wins together. So if more people that we can get that don't traditionally have that opportunity, we feel it's our obligation and responsibility. So for this event, our clients actually assembled all of the gift bags, the swag bags that everybody had, and attended the event to enjoy it and to hand out the gift bags to all of the guests.
And for people that don't know what ARC is, can you guys explain? I mean, it's a group that provides support and workforce development for disabled residents, correct?
Yes, for people of all ages with developmental disabilities, and they provide all kinds of support services for, I think, over 1,300 families.
So, you know, when I think of a meeting or event, the impact that a meeting or event can have on a destination is so much bigger than what you're looking at, what you're trying to accomplish, which was to execute on a Guinness Book of World Records groundbreaking event. Not only did you execute on that, that you incorporated the community from the Arc of Palm Beach to elevate it. And then in the end, the impact that you had, that you fed all these, you know, additional homeless people within the area with what you had. So that's really inspiring and something that I think we all can think of when we're planning meetings and events.
You had also created had a hand in creating a signature event here in the Palm Beaches as well, the International Polo Center Sunday Polo Brunch. Tell us about how you took that to the level that it is today.
So I had started in my own catering and events company in 2004. And in 2006, when we were still very new at it, there was an RFP that went out from the International Polo Club to take over their Sunday brunch and polo program that was kind of fledgling, and they were having a really difficult time to get people to go out there. It was still the perception of it's so far away, like from West Palm Beach and from the island, that they couldn't convince people to get out there. So I threw my hat in the ring and I convinced them that I was the person and my company was able to do this. And, you know, we had never done anything to that scale before. And kind of like the way that we approach Bordery, we had never had a direct-to-consumer business before. But my belief is that if you have a strong team, that and you're doing something that's, you know, innovative and something that's unique, every time somebody jumps into something like that, it's their first time. So nobody really knows what they're doing when they get into anything if it's innovative and it's their first time, or if it's the first time that something's been done. So we took on that project and we did it for about 10 years, and we created this experience that we like to call eventertainment, so that it's got to be more than just the food, that people are just coming out and eating the food. So we decided to bring in a number of different sponsors and build things out that would attract people, so there would be more to do than just coming and eating. And so we did things like we partnered up with the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, and we ended up importing a 1963 British double-decker bus and renovating it into a bar and restaurant. And the whole top came up on hydraulics. And we built a whole hospitality area around that included in your ticket. You were able to get bottles of champagne, and you've got special swag bags from some of the retail partners of the casino. So it was a whole elevated experience. And so that would sell out every week. And then we created we took an Airstream trailer and turned it into the Veuve Clicquot Airstream Lounge. And we launched a program with Veuve Clicquot where one went across country on a tour and the other one went to set up at the International Polo Club for an ultra VIP experience. So we did that as well. And that ended up selling out every week. And that came with bottles of Veuve Clicquot. And we ended up being one of the largest sellers of Veuve Clicquot in the state of Florida because of all of these initiatives to push sponsorship products into these concepts. And we did the same thing with Funky Buddha, and we developed a beer garden there. We developed an after party to get people to stay and donated the revenue from the after party each week to a different local nonprofit and charity. So we had built it from something that was in 10 years that we had a hard time getting 50 people to come out, even if we comped their tickets, to having 700 people that came out every single week. And not only for these specialty sections and experiences, but we also built in over 80 items in the buffet every single week, 6 different unique action stations, including custom made things. Like, we built a river inside of the building where little boats would go by that people would pick their food off of. And we would do flaming asado stations. Asados are a traditional Argentinian barbecues where you dig big pits in the ground and you put food right on top of glowing embers. And so we made it a little bit more sanitary. And this is a traditional polo celebration. And we built these big fire pits and these wrought iron structures. And we would use roofing torches with 15-foot flames that would come out. And we would do all this in front of the guests. And that's what we call an eventertainment. And that's what we believe built this up into like an iconic event, because you never knew when you went out there. You're not just going out to watch polo, which the average person isn't an expert or an aficionado on, and you can only eat so many plates of food. So there's got to be other stuff. It's got to be a whole inclusive experience. And that was a really fun and creative and unique time for the whole team.
That's wow, very
cool. Go big
cool.
or go home.
Exactly. Go big or go home. Aaron, I'd say in anything that you do is exactly what Suzanne just said, is go big or go home. So now as you look into the future with Bordery, where are you going with Bordery? Where's that next step?
Well, it's so we actually do have a very clear path on what we're going to do over the next year. So we actually right now we're really focusing on our themed boards. Those are another things that everyone keeps asking for. And so we just pre-launched our holiday boards and our Thanksgiving boards. And so those are on the website for pre-order. The problem is we can only make 3,000 a day in our current footprint. So and we won't do more because we're not going to sacrifice quality for anything. So we are building out our second 15,000 square foot facility in 2024, which is going to allow us to double our production capacity. And we're also going to focus on more of these kind of themed boards. And to go a step further, one of the names that we call, why we called ourselves Bordery, is because we always knew that we're going to kind of parlay into other things that have to do with boards. Like you, cheese and charcuterie is, you know, are always our first love, right? But we're so excited about developing our dessert boards, which are going to be unique desserts that are in all of them, not the things that you can find everywhere. Just like our boards are artisan products from all over the world, we're going to do the same thing with desserts, and we're going to do the same thing with candy boards. So that's our, and then we're going to continue with all our themes. So for every single holiday and every single event, no matter how big or how small, we have themes for them.
Very cool and very exciting. I feel like you're similar to like, Bordery is going to be similar to like Google. When you say just Google it, it's become a verb. We're going to say just Bordery it, right?
That's the goal. I mean,
Aaron's like, yes.
we'll stop at nothing.
So, Aaron, is there any advice from your experience in the catering world that you would share with meeting planners? Anything that you think is important for them to know?
I mean, I think it's a similar mantra of just that you can't think that you can't wait to do something just because you feel like you're unprepared, and having that insecurity, like this is something that other people can do because they have more knowledge or expertise in that area. It's, you know, I believe that most people that are doing things that are innovative or that are, you know, to a certain extent risky to undertake, don't necessarily have a clear path forward on how that they're going to accomplish all of these things. But if you are willing to put in the time and you have a good team around you, then just go for it.
Yeah. I would say from the outside looking in, is someone that is constantly creative, you know, will take the risk knowing that there's a greater reward out there. And the reality is bringing community of partners that come in to help, you know, whether it was Shark Tank, whatever that might be. But you've done a great job and very inspiring to me personally.
Thank you. And you're, what you're saying about partners is 100% accurate. I mean, we have, because of not being able to project accurately, because we're such a young company, and we've been just outpacing our projections month after month, even though we pad them, we're constantly reaching out to all of our producers, all the manufacturers, all the distributors for everything and everything that we have that has lead times. I mean, things have to be produced and overseas, and even the cheeses have to be made and the charcuteries have to be made. And a lot of these are made exclusively for us. And all of the companies have bent over backwards, even local companies like Cheney Brothers, a huge community supporter. Byron last year during December, when we were running out of refrigeration space, sent refrigerated trailers to sit outside of our facility to be able to keep things refrigerated. So there's so many partners that have been instrumental in helping us solve problems along the way and help us grow along the way as well.
Very good. That's great to hear.
Aaron, we always leave our podcast, because it's called Between the Sessions, and we ask people their favorite Between the Sessions memory or activity or experience. I know you're sort of on the other end of it, but is there anything that's happened at an event or any meeting that you've been at, a Between the Sessions activity that really sticks out in your mind?
I have so many of those, I feel. I mean, one that sticks out is we were lucky that we were able to do produce an event for Prince Harry personally for his Senabale Polo Cup. And so we got to interact with him, and because he does a lot of charity events, but this is his personal one. So it happened in Wellington, and we got to plan it with him and his team. And afterwards, we went upstairs to the to kind of the players' lounge and to say goodbye. And there was about 20 people there, and he was one of them. And he invited us in to say what a great job. And we ended up staying and ordering pizzas, and we all ended up having beers and eating pizza and dancing with, you know, Prince Harry and 20 other people. Just fun, once in a lifetime experiences. And it lets you realize that, you know, that everybody, no matter who they are, at the end of the day, they're just people that are excited about doing things that they're passionate about.
Well, that's exciting. So at the end of the podcast, we always like to talk about giving the listener swag, which is stuff we all get. And while we're not going to give our customers something physically, what we like to give them is a piece of tip, advice that you could share with someone. And so what advice would you want to give listeners based on what you've been through and what you've learned that can inspire them as they move into doing a meeting or event?
You know, I mean, I think it's probably sounds cliche and overused, but I think passion is something that you have to have, especially in the events industry. You know, there's in order to kind of do things that are over the top or next level are going to require an inordinate amount of your time. And you have to be willing to be able to put in the hours and be able to make a lot of sacrifices in your personal life in order to have that kind of pride and impressive experience and excited and happy clients.
Yeah. So yeah. It's surrounding yourself by people that all have passion, right? Because mm-hmm. the events industry is not an easy industry, and it takes a lot of hard work, like you said. So as long as you have that team that all has that passion behind it, you'll be successful.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron Minitoff, co-CEO and co-founder of Bordery. This has been a very eye-opening conversation. And wow, what a success story you guys are. And you had said at the beginning of the podcast that it was kind of surprising of the opportunity that came out of COVID, out of the pandemic. But I think a lot of people had some really great opportunity out of such a interesting time in our world. So, and Bordery was born. So really cool. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more or get in touch with Bordery?
So our website is bordery.com. And then that's the same, just Bordery for Instagram and Facebook. And we have contact information on the website at bordery.com. And that's where you can order. And we also do for corporate groups, logo engraving, which I didn't mention, which is really popular for the holidays. So we can do a logo on the keepsake board and we can do any quantity.
Oh, wow. Is your wife still answering the customer service line?
Well, she actually does. She's got a team of 11 people and yeah. they're doing it, you know, all together. And so we're constantly improving it.
Awesome. All right, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you check us out on LinkedIn, the Palm Beaches on LinkedIn. You can also check out our website, thepalmbeaches.com/meetings. And we'd love it if you would subscribe to this podcast and leave a review of Between the Sessions on your favorite podcast platform. This has been an episode of Between the Sessions.